You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, this is Chris, co-founder of Nuff Said, and today on the Nuff Said podcast, we asked Beth from Winning by Design, in preparation for end of year budgeting, what's the difference in a CFO's mind between a CS org that's a profit center versus a cost center? And here's what we learned. One, in order to not be seen as a cost center, CS leaders must connect improvements in retention to lifetime value. And that includes both the length of relationship and also increasing revenue cohorts. Two, you want to avoid common cost center pitfalls like CSMs not wanting to be salespeople, or if they are doing the renewal, it's the only focus of the CSM. That you aren't investing in training for CSMs to help them be trusted strategic partners to customers, and there's no customer journey map. And finally, the third item is making sure that you measure customer outcomes over moments of value in the journey. So that's the TLDR. Let's jump in.
I am Bethy Haskell, and I'm a customer success architect with Winning by Design. We are an agency that focuses on helping recurring revenue companies optimize their revenue operations end to end, from lead gen through to renewal and expansion. And we really dig into the data, both qualitative and quantitative, to understand what's going on with our clients so that we can make recommendations that really have tangible impact to their bottom line.
And on that note, you have an interesting perspective on how customer success needs to be designed as a profit center, not a cost center. So can you talk a little bit about where that philosophy comes from and what it means to be a profit center?
Sure, absolutely. So when customer success started, it was really a reaction to recurring revenue customers not sticking around and somebody needing to basically work with customers to keep them happy enough to keep renewing. Over time, though, what's happened is a lot of companies have just perceived customer success and all the associated functions, CSMs, support, all those kind of things, as being cost of software. So it's just something you get when you buy. It's not necessarily viewed in a lot of companies as a source of revenue. It might be different for the implementation team, especially for those companies that charge for implementation services. But that aside, you know, the customer journey and all these kind of things tend to be viewed as a cost center. The thing is that if you flip the way that you think about it a little bit and look at the math, if you're really taking care of your customer base and doing the things that will bring churn down, renewal up, and most importantly, expansion numbers way up, then you can get to profitability far faster and cheaper than if you only focus on making improvements to new revenue and getting new customers in the door.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. So if success is successfully engaging customers, growing, expanding customers, you can get to profitability more quickly. How do you have that conversation with the CFO? What is the math that you just mentioned?
Yeah, the math really, if you start looking at cost of acquisition, for new revenue, it's going to cost a whole lot more to get new customers in the door than it is to grow existing customers. And to take that a little further, let's say that your average cost of acquisition, it takes 14 months for your average customer to pay off the spend that you use to actually acquire them in the first place. So if you're going off that 14-month point, if they churn out at 12 months, you've essentially lost money with this account. Be that because it wasn't a good fit or they weren't seeing impact, whatever the reason. However, every month beyond the 14 months that you can keep that customer is going to go towards increased profitability, towards your revenue. And beyond that, if you can really spend time expanding from the base, which is a lot cheaper than getting new business in the door, and you have the advantage of hopefully articulating the value that you provide and the impact you provide to customers, then you can really see compound growth. And the longer you can get that LTV going, the lifetime value of your accounts, and the more spend over time, the faster you will get to profitability.
Do you have any advice for CS leaders who are in budgeting mode and they're about to make this pitch to their CFO? Obviously, you can say longer LTV, larger, you know, expanding cohorts, so each cohort's growing in its overall retention. But what math do you use? What argument to use with the CFO that success is the right place to invest the next dollar to improve the company results?
Yeah, I think, again, if you can focus on the numbers, and especially if you're talking to a CFO, you want to be very data focused. So start looking at your numbers. Let's say that you have a churn rate that's 15%. And if you can make changes to the customer journey and adjust the number of accounts a CSM has and how they manage those accounts so that you can reduce that churn rate by 5%, 3% even, depending on what numbers you're talking about, that math can really show a huge impact for what is relatively a low cost of extra headcount with the CSM. Efficiency is a really big thing too. So when I say invest in CS, I'm not just talking about adding CSMs or adding support people. This also goes to making sure you have the processes in place so that you have mapped out customer journeys that are appropriate for each segment, whether you have high touch segments, low touch segments, that kind of thing. What do customers need to renew, to get that impact, to buy more? Make sure you have that journey mapped out and all the things that need to happen for those results that you're looking for. And then just do the math on how much time it takes for those different tasks to get accomplished and how many bodies you have and how many hours you have in the week. And if you start mapping that out against the revenue associated with a reasonable reduction in churn and an increase in expansion, then you can usually start getting into some really interesting conversations with the CFO.
Twice you've used the word impact as the main reason why customers churn. Can we just talk about that for a second? What do you mean by business impact, and how does that differ from making sure that customers are receiving value?
Absolutely. Really important one. And this is something that it is critical that companies understand what value and impact they can provide to customers. They should be talking about this in the marketing and sales cycles, but certainly all along the customer journey. The way that I think about the difference between value and impact is this. Value is going to be more focused on usage, adoption, a lot of features and functionalities kind of thing. It's making a difference, but it's very focused on more isolated kinds of things. And I'll give some examples in a minute. Impact is going to be more focused on significant business and strategic impacts to your customer account. And it's basically value realized is going to be what the business impact is. And this is going to be ultimately the reason that somebody made a purchase with you in the first place, because they're looking for that sort of strategic impact, be it, you know, an increase in revenue, a increase in efficiency, something like that. When I'm talking to my clients about value and impact, I like to use an example that's not necessarily very technical, but it brings us to the kitchen. It's the Instant Pot, which is an appliance that got really popular a few years ago. And it is a pressure cooker, but it does a lot of other things. Depending on what model of the Instant Pot you have, you might have 10 different buttons on it with all sorts of functionality. So when you buy it and you bring it home and you pressure cook your first meal in it, you have achieved your first value. You've done something that you couldn't do or couldn't do as well before you had the Instant Pot. As you start using more and more of those buttons to do all the other things that the Instant Pot can do, then you're moving towards full value. All those value moments of using different functions to make yogurt or bread or, you know, any of the number of other things an Instant Pot can do. The impact, however, is when you start being able to reclaim counter space in your kitchen because the Instant Pot has allowed you to get rid of some appliances that you no longer need. Or it means that you're spending more time with your kids in the evening because you don't need to spend as much time cooking because it's saving you time there. That's the way to think about impact versus value.
One of the buzzwords in CS right now is the word outcomes. Do you think of outcomes being different than impact?
I don't. I think it's essentially the same thing. I mean, the reason that people will stay with your product and keep buying more from you is if they are seeing recurring impact. Business outcomes, assuming that you're still defining those in a similar way, that's fine too. You need to be helping them make a difference in their business, a positive one. And if you're not doing that in a way that you can articulate, and more importantly, that they can articulate, it's going to be really hard to convince them to keep spending money with you, much less spend more money with you.
Can you think, Beth, off the top of your head, signs that your CS team is operating as a cost center, not a profit center? Are there things that you've seen companies do that's like, uh-oh, you're heading down the path of cost center here in the eyes of your CFO?
Yeah, I think if you are only having your CSMs focusing on renewals and that's it, and just renewal dates and getting that actual renewal process, if you don't have a detailed customer journey that maps out all of the things that get customers to impact and wrapped up in that, if you don't have impact examples defined, these are all things that indicate that. Another thing that's pretty contentious actually is, or has been historically, is this whole idea of CSMs not wanting to be salespeople, not wanting to sell. I've been in this boat myself when I was a CSM years ago. I definitely did not want to see myself as a salesperson, which is fair. However, we're usually talking about for-profit businesses that we're working for here. And the reality is that CSMs can be super well positioned to see opportunities in ways that even account managers that might be attached to the account don't. They're the ones in there seeing those value moments and the resulting impact that customers are having. And they're going to be able to see white space, but they need to be trained to see those opportunities, identify them, and tee them up properly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this goes back to you were asking, what are other markers? Well, if your CSMs, if you're not investing in training them and making sure they have the skills needed to really next level the organization and take CS to a strategic point, then it's going to be really hard to get there.
Interesting. So if CSMs aren't viewed by customers as kind of strategic partners.
Exactly.
Which means, I guess there's kind of two things that could go into that. One is deep knowledge of product use cases. Mm-hmm. But two is just a general understanding of best practices for a certain industry.
Yeah, it is. And it's also, you know, when a customer buys a SaaS tool, let's say recruiting software, I'll just pick something up. So let's say recruiting software, they're buying it. And in most cases, the person who's writing the check is not an expert in recruiting and all those kind of things. Similarly, the admins that you're working with, you might have some talent acquisition managers and people like that, that in fact are very knowledgeable in this space. But they're not necessarily the most knowledgeable in your tool. So after a deal is sold, a CSM working with the customer needs to be leading the customer towards not just how to use the tool most effectively, but also providing thought leadership wrapped around the space that the tool is addressing. So understanding things about recruiting trends, about what's going on in the industry, and really how there's a lot of different levers. If you think about really any SaaS product in industry, but recruiting just as an example, there's the candidate experience, there's the hiring manager experience, there's time to get candidates through the process, there's the collaboration internally as different teams are interviewing and noting on candidates, all these different things. So if you can improve your customers' experience in all these different ways, and guide them through that proactively and lead them towards the impacts that you know other customers have had and that they can have, then they are going to trust you and view you as a strategic partner because you're actually helping certainly their business. You're probably also helping the individual roles do their jobs better, do it with less stress and less frustration.
What we often say at NuffSaid is, you know, there's kind of three levels of maturity of asking for budget. The worst way to ask for budget is to say, okay, well, you know, we get one CSM per $2 million in revenue, one CSM per 100 customers. And that kind of puts you in the trap where the CFO just sees it as a slide rule, like a calculator, right? You know, we're just going to invest a little bit more as the revenue goes up. A better way is to show the impact that investments in CS can make on the business. So this can be pointing to lifetime value. This can be pointing to net retention rate growth over time, you know, leading to X million dollars in more in top line revenue, however you want to pitch it. The most mature way is to hone in on the thing that the CFO cares about the most, which is CFOs don't really care about customers at the end of the day. What they really care about is maximizing the value of the company. And the way that they can maximize the value of the company is to show metrics to investors that will lead to higher valuations. And the metrics that lead to higher valuations are things for a lot of companies, it is around retention rate. Retention rate is a Wall Street metric now. Nine out of 10 public SaaS companies report their retention rates. So if you really want to get budget, you say another $1 million investment in CS will lead to a $30 million increase in valuation because we'll improve the retention rate this amount. How do you react to that framing?
I think that's legit. I would actually, though, add in, don't just focus on retention or churn, look at expansion, because that contributes to the new dollars coming in the door. And that's where things really start to get interesting. You know, companies focus so much on their sales teams because they're the ones bringing new revenue in the door. And of course, revenue is what makes your business successful. If CSMs can show and CS leaders can show that their teams are having an impact on that and they are contributing to new revenue at a lower cost than just straight sales teams, then that's what's going to help a CFO really shift. One thing that you said too that I'll throw in here is you were talking about how people need to know what's important to the CFO. And this actually, I'm going to bring this back to impact for a minute, because if you think about impact, there's actually two kinds of impact. And this is whether you're talking about a customer, whether you're talking about your spouse, your kids, whatever. There's two kinds of impact. There's rational and there's emotional. And as human beings, we tend to make decisions that are based on emotional impact and reactions. And then we look for the rational or the data to back it up. So when you're going into these conversations with your CFO, not unlike when you're going into a conversation with a customer, you need to be aware of what rational impact they're looking to have and that's meaningful to them, but also their emotional. Are they looking for an exit? Are you talking to somebody who is looking for a promotion or a raise or some other kind of win? That's going to be their emotional impact. The emotional impact is going to benefit the individual first and the company second. The rational impact is going to be that valuation number you were talking about or something like that. So just keeping in mind impact, it goes far beyond just when you're talking about customers and making sure they're getting business impact. There can be nuance to it, looking at both rational and emotional impacts for your customers, but also internally within your organization. You know, when you're talking to sales leaders and CSMs or CS leaders are trying to get better collaboration with sales teams, what rational and emotional impact can your CS org have on them? Well, if you get more examples of business impact that customers are seeing and benefiting from, your sales team should be using that in their pitches to new prospects. So, you know, think about this much more broadly than just with customers.
And that's it for this week's episode of NefSed. To learn more about NefSed's proactive intelligence platform, you can visit nefsed.com. That's NuffSaid.com. And you can follow NefSed on LinkedIn. To tune in to more real customer success strategies, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. Thanks for tuning in. NefSed.